Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of evidence of salvation. The evidence in the Samaritan woman's life in John chapter 4, fourth chapter of John, and verse number 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Well, this woman received the Lord as her Savior, and her feet immediately was in the Lord's service. Immediately she had that burning desire for others to have what she had, what she had just received, to make a difference for them. She witnessed concerning Christ. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She emphasized Jesus. She emphasized what he had done for her. You know what? We need to preach Jesus. We need to leave self out of it. And we need to just present Jesus Christ and him crucified to those around us. Now, I'm sure that each of us can remember back those that are saved when the Lord saved our soul. We had these same desires. I had a desire in my heart to go to visit my friends, go and visit my family, and tell them all about what the Lord had done for me. And I'm sure that you had that same experience and that same privilege. She had a testimony that led people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that testimony was emphasizing Christ and what he had done. 4:38 or 39, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'" This must be the Christ. Must be the Christ. The evidence in the Gadarene demoniac's life. He had a new nature. Look at Luke 8 and verse number 35. Luke, the 8th chapter, and verse number 35. "Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of the of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." This man had a new nature. He was different. The Lord changed him, and he changed him from within. He didn't change him from without. He changed him from within. You see, men need to be changed within so that that which is within can cleanse that which is without. We're not cleansed on the outside. We're cleansed on the inside, and we're cleansed outside from the inside. Because there's the seat where Jesus sits through the person of the Holy Spirit in the heart of every man that knows him as his Savior. And we need to present him in that manner. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he knew what it was like, and they could see what it was like. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What a difference that he made for this man. A man that was out of his mind, out of his head. A man that was like a wild man. A man who couldn't be tamed or couldn't be changed. They chained him and he still broke loose. There was no help and no hope for him. But Jesus made the difference. Jesus changed his life. And from there on out, the help that he got from Jesus was all that he needed. He didn't need to look to mankind anymore. He had a desire to follow Jesus. Look at 8:38 here. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. He was commanded to witness for Jesus. You know what? He doesn't just save us to keep us out of hell. He doesn't save us to get our life in order. He doesn't save us to be able to bear the things that sin brings upon us in this life. He saved us that we might serve him. He saved us that we might be a witness for him. He saved us that we might share him with others, that they might see him and his great power, and that they might submit and let him change them, change their eternal destiny from hell to heaven, change it to where that there's hope and there's genuine help in this life. Listen, Jesus is the only hope. He's the only help. There's no man, no organization, no group, no power on this earth that can make a difference like Jesus Christ can. Old Zacchaeus, Luke the 19th chapter and verse number 6. Luke 19 and verse 6 says, And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He come down from that sycamore tree where he was up there to wanting to see Jesus. And he came down and he received the Lord Jesus Christ joyfully. He had an open heart to the poor. Luke 19 and verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I have taken away anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Brother, he was talking to Jesus and it come from the heart. And he genuinely meant it. He was one who collected money from people, tax collector, unlike the individual. But listen, when Jesus changed him, the evidence is that he had an open heart. He was concerned about his fellow man. He was concerned especially about those that were poor. His concern was not about money. It was not about collecting money. It wasn't about doing his job. It was about reaching others for Jesus. You know what? Again, when we were first saved, we had these same desires. And then they ebbed. And then they went. And then pretty soon, we were busy doing the other things to sustain this old physical life. And we just pretty much left off the other. We need to go back to that. You know what? We talk about revival. We used to have revival meetings and so forth. The purpose for those revivals is to bring us back to when the Lord changed our hearts and we had a burning desire in it to be a servant of his and to reach others for the cause of Christ. We had compassion and a love for others that we'd never had before. A lost man loves himself, period. 1 John 4 tells us he's not capable of love until he gets to know Jesus. And we're talking about the sacrificing, the giving kind of love. He said, I'll restore fourfold. This is evidence of true repentance. He'd restore fourfold anything that he had taken that was improper or that was false. What a change. He desired to repent of his unrighteous life. And this is evidence that he'd truly repented. The Ethiopian eunuch's life. Acts 8, verse number 37. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With all of his heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he said. I believe that Jesus Christ is the all-powerful God. I believe that Jesus Christ became a man, and that as a man, he was also God, and he had power to change the lives of individuals from a road to hell to one that would take them to heaven. And he believed it with his heart. How many times do we doubt? Do we wonder? Do we question? Where's the evidence of our salvation? By the way, this is to cause us to search our heart and to see really where we stand. Yeah. Listen. He confessed Jesus Christ. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thou mayest what? Be baptized." Listen, evidence that he was saved. He had a desire to be obedient to the Lord and to submit and to do his will, to follow his order. He followed him in baptism. Look at verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." We only are to baptize those that have a profession of faith in Christ Jesus. And we ought to be convinced that it's genuine. Not a profession, but a genuine reception of the grace of God that brings salvation and eternal life. Verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." He went on his way rejoicing in the salvation that he had received. He was rejoicing because of the burden of sin that was lifted. He was rejoicing because the peace that passes understanding was in his heart. He went away rejoicing, know that the Lord was his Savior, knowing that he had a friend that would sit closer than a brother. He went rejoicing. Every child of God here should be rejoicing in the fact that Jesus saved our wretched soul. Yeah. He didn't have to. My case, he probably shouldn't have. The evidence also in the Philippian jailer in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse number 33, Acts 16, and verse 33. "And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway." Listen, this Philippian jailer showed evidence of salvation in that he washed the preacher's stripes. Previous, he could care less. Previous, beat him, kill him, whatever. But what a change, what a difference that it made. He humbled himself and was willing to wash the stripes and take care of the injured preachers. He showed kindness in his home to the preachers. Look at verse 34. "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." He rejoiced in his salvation. Not only his, but his whole household was saved. And you know what? It's amazing. One member of the family comes to the Lord, sets the example and reaches out and exalts Jesus Christ before them. And pretty soon they fall one at a time. That's pretty much the way that it happened with my family. Just one at a time. And my dad, I thought he never would give up his drinking. But one day he did. One day he did. And that scoundrel, I thought he was lost as a goose. I never thought that he'd ever. I told our pastor at that time, Brother Austin Russell, I said, "Brother, he'll just before they throw the last shovel of dirt in, he'll raise up and want another beer." And when he went forward on a Wednesday night, under conviction, he went forward and he said, "I was saved when I was 17 years old in Coaltown, Kentucky, in a landmark Missionary Baptist church." And you know, the Lord got a hold of him and changed him, a child of God, that night. Brother Russell said, "We'll have to investigate." He said, "I want to be baptized. I don't want to wait. I want to be baptized right now. I want to be a member of this church." And I was sitting back about halfway in the pew. I like to fell out. Closest I'd ever heard him talk about anything to do with religion was he'd tell people, "I'm a Catholic." They'd ask him, "Why are you Catholic?" He said, "Because they believe in drinking." But listen. What a change that he made. What a difference that the Lord makes. Then in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he changed his life. Ninth chapter of Acts, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now this was a man who was devout in his religion, the greatest religion of the Hebrews of that day. He was a Pharisee. And he was going out and killing and trying to destroy the Lord's churches, or the Lord's church. There's only one at that time. And what a change and what a difference. Well, this is miraculous. The Lord struck me down and boy, light shined all around. Wait a minute. I'm persuaded that the Apostle Paul was struck down with conviction. He was so convicted that he hit his knees and fell forth on the ground. Convicted so deeply that it was an astonishing thing. And then the Lord saved him by his amazing grace. And by the way, if one didn't deserve to be saved, it was one who was destroying and persecuting the Lord's church and his people. But see the mercy and the grace of God and how loving that he is and how concerned that he is. No matter how wretched the sinner is, he still loves him. I'll tell you, there's nothing more despicable to me than a pervert. But yet I have to love the sinner and hate the sin. That's the way Jesus looks at it. He hated the sin of Paul, but he loved Paul the sinner. We had ought to have the same attitude and the same mind. Verse number 18. "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, arose and was baptized." In verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." With the same zeal that he was trying to destroy the Lord's work, he's now going forth and doing his work. He became an ambassador for the Lord Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul, the persecutor, became Paul, the persecuted, because he became an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ in this ungodly and reprobate world. The evidence that should be in a believer's life, the believer should keep the word of God. Look at the 119th Psalm. 119th Psalm and verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now listen, a believer today should keep the word of God, should hide it in their heart. Look at verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Men, believers, should have a forgiving spirit. Look at Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse number 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped to him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and didn't do likewise. We ought to be forgiving of those who trespass against us. We ought to be forgiving of those who become indebted to us. The believer's life should be a crucified life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2nd chapter and verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, that applies to Paul. That applies to every born-again child of God here tonight and every born-again child of God wherever he might be. Listen to it. I'm crucified with Christ. Cut off. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We live because of the crucified Christ. We will live eternally because of the crucified Christ. What about it? Is there evidence in your life that you're saved? Well, I know I'm saved, no problem. Well, then, we'd ought to manifest it. We'd ought to manifest it. We ought to live a life according to the order that God established in his holy word. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to repent of your sins and by faith trust him. Because listen, salvation brings something that cannot be obtained any other way than through Jesus Christ. It brings peace with God. And again, the Bible says it's a peace that passes all understanding. A peace between us and God that passes all understanding. The burden of sin lifted. Those that we read about went away rejoicing in their salvation, rejoicing in Jesus. We'd ought to rejoice in him, that the lost sinner might see the difference in our life compared to the miseries of theirs. Let's stand. As we have an invitation number, what shall we sing? We sing hymn 118. The Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come. Come to Jesus before it's eternally and everlasting too late. Until your affections are nailed to the cross, you're not right with God. Until your full allegiance is to him, you can't be right with God. You know, he forsook everything, gave up everything. He was rich and he became poor for you and me. And after what he's done for us, we'd ought to be willing to sacrifice everything for him as he did for us. That's his intent for every child of God. That's why he paid the price that he did for your soul. We'll either sell out for Jesus or sin will make our lives miserable.